Now, before I introduce my next guest, there is only one introduction for him, and we're going to do it like this.
Tonight, there's a man in the shadows with a gun in his eye and a blade shining no so bright. There's evil in the air and there's thunder in the sky and a killer's on the bloodshot streets. On down in the tunnel with a deadly horizon, no, I swear I saw a young boy down in the gutter. He was starting to foam in the heat. Oh, baby, you're the only thing in this world. There's always gonna be some light, but I gotta get out, I gotta break it out now before the final crack of dawn. So we gotta make the most of our one night together. When it's over, you know we'll both be so alone.
And when
sing.
The night is over,
oh,
like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone, gone, gone.
You're good. How lovely to have you here, Andrew.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Gabby. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, that voice. Your voice.
The voice.
Yeah, no, I'm turning him down. Who? Meatloaf, who's he? It's now all about you, Andrew Pollock.
Oh, I mean, it really is, though, about Meatloaf. Because, you know, he's the person that... As I say, first landed on the moon, and then when I said that to him, he said, no, I first landed on Pluto. And, you know, everyone else is following in his footsteps to sing these songs.
He is mad, though.
Mad?
He's mad, in a very lovable way.
Yeah.
I've interviewed him quite a few times, and each time I thought, oh gosh, you're now madder than you ever were. And that's each time he gets madder.
Yeah, he's madder. I say he's also very sweet.
Oh, he is very sweet.
Yeah, because I said, like, oh, man, you're such a legend. And he's like, don't call me that.
Why?
I'm just an ordinary, everyday, normal guy who just likes to, you know.
Who likes to be called Meatloaf.
Yes, he likes to be called Mr. Loaf or whatever.
So, Andrew, for you, Bat Out of Hell, it started in Manchester. You're now in the West End. My friends who've seen it all love it. Everybody I know says... it's infectious. It's one of those shows you want to go back to again and again. We all know the music. Jim Steinman said, was it, gosh, it was 77, was it? It came out?
Yeah,
in
77.
He said,
40 years.
This is meant to be a musical. It's the longest build-up to a show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the most premature cast recording, if you really think about it.
So now tell me how you got involved in this. We'll talk about you as a person after that, but just tell me how you got the call to come and be a part of the show.
Oh, geez. You know, my calling for it, I guess, came in New York City. There was a workshop of it. And at the time, I was sitting in a waiting room for the SpongeBob musical, ironically enough.
You are kidding me.
No, I'm not. I had an audition
be
for
more
that.
Different.
No, it was totally different. And I was in like SpongeBob outfit garb. I had like
what
a SpongeBob belt on.
No.
A huge, huge SpongeBob belt. I had a bright blue t-shirt and like, of course, tight blue pants and everything. And I brought in a huge red floor tom drum, which was about like half the size of me.
So what was that for SpongeBob?
Or? Yeah, I brought it in for SpongeBob because I was going to play like a rock and roll song because I'm not plugging the SpongeBob musical,
no, tell
but
me
it
about,
sounds like it. But,
no, I want to know about the SpongeBob.
But while I was sitting there...
No, you've got to tell me about the SpongeBob musical.
Oh, I have
to
tell you about
it.
I guess there are a bunch of rock and roll writers on it, like, Cyndi Lauper and Aerosmith and Panic at the Disco. I guess they're all writing music for it, as well as the late David Bowie. So they wanted to hear a rock and roll song, and I was like, great. I'm not going to bring in a guitar like normally people do for an audition. I'm going to bring in a drum, and I'm going to... bang away and sing really loud, and I hope they like
dressed
it.
Dressed as SpongeBob.
Yeah, kind of dressed as SpongeBob. Yeah.
I'm there. And then Bat Out of Hell and Meatloaf, suddenly, how did that get involved while you were dressed as SpongeBob with a drum?
No lie, I'm in this waiting room.
Yeah.
The person next to me looks over at me and goes, hey, you auditioning for Bat Out of Hell? It's happening like two blocks down the street at Pearl Studios. And I look over at him, And little does he know that Bat Out of Hell is one of those pinnacle albums in my life. And I go, do you mean like the Jim Steinman Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell? And he goes,
I love this.
No, it's a misnomer. No, that it's. I think they're just using the name, but I think it's a totally different thing.
Now, this is such a shame it's radio, because you're actually having the conversation with yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Go. It's no, a radio
no,
play, I guess.
No, I love this, because you're going from the left to the right. So go back to him. So, yeah, so he didn't think it. No, this guy, right.
Yeah,
so he said he didn't think it was Bat Out of Hell.
No, he said, no, it's a totally different thing. They're just using that as the name.
So go back to your seat now. Right,
and
okay.
I went,
what did you say?
I don't believe you. So.
And then what did he say?
Oh, I can't. I think by that time he was called in for his audition and he was nervous as anything. But,
was he wearing blue dungarees and
dungarees?
What do they call it? They're tight pants in America?
Skinny jeans, I guess.
Okay.
I know you guys call them like cigarette jeans here or something.
Yeah, cigarette pants.
Cigarette pants.
Yeah, no, we call them skinny jeans.
Okay.
This is not the conversation I ever thought I was going to have with you, but this is great.
Oh, okay.
So the big drum, you're there. He's gone in for his audition for SpongeBob.
He's gone in for his audition. I think I just finished mine.
You have the big drum.
And I have the big drum. And
how
I decide,
big is the big drum?
It's like half the size of me. I'd say it's probably about like 3 feet high or like
three,
two and a half.
It's a 3 foot drum.
Yeah, it's a 3 foot drum.
Okay. What color is the drum?
Bright red. Actually, kind of like this microphone.
Okay, bright red. Okay, yeah. So you've got a bright red 3 foot drum.
Yeah, and I've got the drumsticks in one hand, dressed as SpongeBob, and I'm walking down the streets of New York City.
I'm loving this.
Through the huge, huge packed tourist area of New York City, right? In like the Times Square area. And I'm bumping into people, unfortunately, and New York City people are not very nice when they're bumped into. They kind of clench their teeth and say, thank you very much.
What did you say? I need to get to Bat Out of Hell musical!
Yeah, I shouted it in the streets. Absolutely. No, and I get there, and of course, I'm still in the SpongeBob gear, but everyone else is wearing...
Leather.
Leather. Yeah. Like leather and spikes and everything else. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm so out of place. And I'm barely able to make it through the door.
With your 3 foot drum.
Yeah, with the 3 foot drum. And the casting director looks at me like I'm a nut. And she goes, what are you doing today? And I was like, well, I wanted to sing a song with this drum. And she's like, well, okay, let's hear it. So I did that.
And what song did you sing with the drum?
You know, I sang Are You Gonna Be My Girl by Jet, which I...
Oh, sing that song. Yes, go on. Give us a little bit.
Oh, dear. I don't know what key it starts in, but... Well, I can see you are with me, but you were with another man, yeah. I know we ain't got,
you've got
much to say.
So there, you're right. I've got the picture now. You're dressed as SpongeBob with a 3 foot red drum singing that song.
I am.
I'm there.
You're there.
I would have given you the part.
You
would have
given me the part
like that.
I honestly didn't hear anything until 2 weeks later when my agency called me up and said, hey, did you audition for Bat Out of Hell?
You didn't tell them.
Well, it slipped my mind because I was so... I don't know. I mean, it was an open call. I was like, oh, it's an open call. Who knows what's going to happen? But no, they called me and said, you have another appointment and they want you to bring the drum.
So, you're kidding. You took the drum back again?
Oh, of course I took the drum back again.
Did you still dress as SpongeBob or did you go leather?
You know, I didn't. I don't think I ever went leather for the auditions.
Okay.
I think since I've been in this part, I've worn more leather in my life than... I can't even compare it to anything else.
I'm quite pleased.
Right.
It's a family show. Okay, so you've got your big drum and you're going for your next call. What do you sing this time, or do they get you to sing a song from the show?
You know, I still didn't sing a song from the show, but I thought, why not sing something a little more, even in the vein of the grand 80s rock? And I decided to sing Living on a Prayer.
Oh, I mean, we need a little bit of that, please. Yeah.
I know I'm not doing this in the right key. Yeah.
Living on that one.
Whoa, halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer. Take my hand and we'll make it, I swear. Whoa, living on a prayer. Living on a prayer.
Oh, that's there are other people in here and they're allowed to clap.
Oh, okay,
yes,
great.
There we go. What a voice you've got. Okay, so you're doing Living on a Prayer, no longer a SpongeBob, as you.
Yes, it's okay. Me. Yeah.
And what happens at the end of that? Do they say, yes, you've got the part?
You know, I originally went in as... I was auditioning for Jaguar, which is a different part. He's one of the other members of The Lost. And I guess when they saw me, They were like, wow, are you in a rock band? And I was like, oh, no, no, I used to be in, and they had weird names and everything. But
Let's share the names?
I was in a group called Cat House. I was in another one called Hug the Lion. There was another one called Fear of Escalators. So
if I had to choose one of the albums, I'd like Hug the Lion, I think.
Hug the Lion? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so you're telling them that you've been in Hug the Lion and Fear of Escalators.
Right.
Okay, no longer dressed as SpongeBob.
No longer dressed as SpongeBob.
Singing Living on a Prayer.
Yep.
You have sung the other song before. You've got the giant drum.
Yeah.
What happens next?
They kind of just look at me and wonder where I came from, because I had only been in New York City for about 3 months. So the director kind of looks at me, the music director is like, wow, this is more than we expected. And the whole casting crew was there as well. And they were at this like round table in the back, and they were all looking at each other, smiling. And I left the room about as oblivious as I had the first time. And my agent calls me up again and says, they want to see you again, but they want to see you for the lead this time.
Wow.
And I went, oh my gosh. Sure, let's do it. And I was like, do I bring the drum? And they're like, no, don't bring the drum this time, because they want to differentiate you from the drum, because it might be the drum that's the star if you keep bringing it. So
this story is so, it's incredible. It really is a dream come true.
It is a dream come true.
It can happen for people.
It can happen. I mean, it happened to me, and I pinch myself every day because it feels like a dream. So I'm very, very grateful.
We haven't got to the third audition. So the third meeting.
Geez, the third meeting, everyone was there. I mean, Jim Steinman was in the center of the room.
Knees go wobbly? Because mine would have.
My knees definitely went wobbly. But I guess I'm also, I was so overwhelmed by all the people in the room that I almost didn't notice that he was right in the center. Because I was just, you walk in and you kind of go, oh, wow, those are a lot of people trying to determine whether this is going to be a success or not. And little did I know also at the time that I was, I wouldn't say competing against, but auditioning with people who were in the TV show Glee, who played the lead in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, and all these other wonderful, amazing people who ended up in the workshop together with me.
Wow.
But it was like one day of callbacks, and we stayed there for 3 hours, and my parking meter totally ran out. But
did you get a ticket?
No, thankfully, but I had to pay a lot more. And then they called me back the next day to see if I still had a voice after all the singing. So
the next day?
Yeah, this very next day. Because they wanted to know
if you could sustain
you know,
eight
if you
shows.
Have stamina. Because,
yeah.
You know, Meatloaf, I think, did a concert every day. And he was just insane.
I mean, it's a big, big, big sing.
It is. It really, really is.
And is it one of those things that when you go to the and obviously you're talking now, but I was going to say, do you not talk all day because of having to save your voice?
It really depends on where the time falls in the week to talk. That's not a very good sentence.
Pleased that we've got you in that time that you can talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got
you
the right time. Okay, so for people who haven't seen it, I think most people know the album, but am I allowed to say it's sort of Peter Pan, Romeo and Juliet vibe, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Yeah. Futuristic Peter Pan, Romeo and Juliet vibe in this post-apocalyptic world. I mean, the island of Manhattan broke off from the rest of the mainland of North America and floated out to sea, and we're far in the future. And
it's very dystopian. It's very much what the sort of the older teenagers are all really into at
true.
The moment, you know, with all the I can't think of the series, you know, the
Hunger
films,
Games,
Hunger Games and all of those that everybody's mad about. And it's got that feel. So you're going to be bringing a lot of younger people into this music who might not necessarily know it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the cast is also super, super young. We've got basically everyone in their early 20s, so.
And like you as well, because you're very, very young.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you look like a rock star.
Oh, thank you.
No, just to meet you. And then if I had been at the first audition, I would have said, hey, give him the lead. I can just see why they've cast you, because you look incredibly young. And yet you've got this extraordinary stage presence. When you come out on stage, people go mad, and it absolutely makes sense. Now, one of the things that I'm very blessed on this show is I get to sit opposite such talent. And you actually are going to sing for us. Is that right? You're going to sing one of the numbers from the show?
I am. I'm going to sing a little excerpt from, and I've got my little piano keyboard here. So I actually am in the right key this time.
Oh, fantastic.
Of Anything for Love.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So usually it starts with a big intro.
Okay.
But
give us where this is in the musical. So let's all pretend we're actually in theater now watching you.
Sure. You know, this happens, I guess, which would make sense. It happens right at the end of the musical. And it's right at that pinnacle moment where Raven basically says, you know, like in Peter Pan, like people eventually have to grow up and they eventually have to take on the older responsibilities. And, you know, I can't be with a person who's always going to stay the same age all the time. And basically in this huge moment, Strat says, no, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And it doesn't matter about age. It only matters about love. And then it kind of just goes straight into this song.
Thank you.
I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back. Dun, dun. I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact. Dun, dun. But I'll never forget the way you feel right now. No, no way. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Oh my
no
word.
I won't do that.
You are sensational.
Oh, thank you.
You've just smashed all the glass in the building because that was so incredible.
You're too kind.
No,
Gabby.
I really mean it.
Thank you.
Every single hair on my body is standing on end. That was amazing. I'm so pleased, and this sounds very cruel of me, but I'm so pleased that you had to stop sport with a voice like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I must have been, I guess I must have just been oblivious. I didn't realize that I could sing. I kind of assumed that, you know, just like everyone has 10 fingers, we all can sing. But, you know, then later on in life, you find out that maybe some people don't always have 10 fingers. And then you realize that not everyone can sing. So,
But for you, sport was what you were going to do.
Yeah, I loved lacrosse. And that was a great way to get out all the energy I had as a kid. And I assumed, you know what, I'll just do lacrosse. Hopefully, I'll get a sports scholarship and then I'll go become a doctor. Because there were doctors in my family, and it seemed like the normal path to do if you were an aspiring person who wanted to get somewhere in life. And that all changed when I got into a bicycling accident, which I guess is somewhat ironic because Bat Out of Hell is all focused on, the song itself is focused on a motorcycle crash. And it was really, really bad. I got a terrible concussion. They drove me to the ER, or I forget what you guys call it here.
That's fine.
And
we get that.
Okay, great. Then I was in the hospital in the head trauma unit for about 5 days, and they thought I wasn't going to be able to walk and all that fun stuff. Thankfully, I could walk after it, but I had been in a wheelchair for like 5 days, and when the doctor said, I need you to get up and walk in a straight line, I couldn't do it. And the doctor said, no, your head's too scrambled. You can't do contact sports for a year. And it totally crushed me because I didn't know how to expel all the energy that I always constantly had. And I always thought sports was, doing a sport was the way to do, to expel that energy. So my dad, he played me Paradise by the Dashboard Light when I was a teenager. And listening to that song and hearing the energy behind it of Meatloaf and Ellen Foley, it kind of brought me back to life, and I fell in love with the Bat Out of Hell album, and I fell in love with rock and roll, and decided that that's an amazing way. I mean, Meatloaf himself is basically a vocal Olympian. He's a athlete in his own nature, or his own, I don't know, genre. And to go all out like that on a stage and just give it everything you've got, it seemed like a beautiful way to do something that I all of a sudden realized that I loved.
I'm so pleased it happened. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not saying I'm pleased that you got yourself such a bad injury, but it is extraordinary how things like that turn people's lives around.
Absolutely.
And very often, you know, friends of mine who have had awful accidents, who have had cancer and have gone through it say, you know what, I don't wish it on my worst enemy, but I'm pleased I went through it because I've now become who I am.
Absolutely, yeah. It makes up who we are.
So your parents must be, your family, you just said they're doctors and your dad playing you that album and everything. For you, this must be immense. I mean, this is, your family must think this is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Everyone in my family is just so, so grateful. I don't know if anyone ever would have guessed this. I think they were all... They didn't want to say like, oh no, you're doing this in your life, or you're doing this in your life. They kind of just let me run free and run wild. And this is where I ended up. So yeah, no, I'm grateful, and I'm grateful to be part of such an amazing show with such an amazing team of people. I mean, I sing some of the songs, but we also have, you know, Christina Bennington, who sings Heaven Can Wait. We have Rob Fowler and Sharon Sexton, who wonderfully sing Paradise by the Dashboard Light. And then we've got people like Danielle Steers and Dom Hartley Harris, who do Two Out of Three Ain't Bad and Dead Ringer for Love. So everyone adds their own beautiful, unique voices to these songs and, you know, gives them or continues to give them a beautiful life.
You're lovely. You're a very generous man as well. And what an incredible voice. I wish you all the very best of luck, but you especially
with
this show, and break legs for the show. And thank you so much for being here.
Oh,
you're
my gosh.
A joy.
Thank you so much for having me.
A real joy.
You're a joy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.